Well, Merry Christmas, Devin. Oh boy, that was pretty weak sauce. Well, welcome back. Anyways, it's good to see everyone. If you're new, I want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Bert, and this is the second Sunday of Advent. First Sunday of December, but second Sunday of Advent, the season of Christ's coming. A season when the church slows down long enough to remember that the world changed in one holy night in Bethlehem. And that with the coming of Jesus, God brought the world hope, peace, joy, and love. Last week we talked about hope. That's what the first candle on our little Advent table there is all about. Did you know there's only 18 days left till Christmas? 18 shopping days. Yeah, if that stresses you out, you'll be happy to know about today's theme. Right? The fact that Jesus brings peace to our troubled hearts and minds. And that's really the point of the second candle today. So hopefully this will help you right now. Do you feel more peace? Did that help? No? Okay, well then listen to the rest of the message. You know, we continue through our Christmas story that we've been looking at in the Bible, focusing again on the angelic messages that are surrounding the birth of the Messiah, of the Christ child. Like last week, we're going to use some scenes from Holy Night, which was the Chosen's Christmas episode, as some visual windows for us to look into the world in which Jesus was born into at that time. And the first scene, we're going to look at three scenes today. The first scene will introduce us to the shepherds. Really, the nobodies. The nobodies of Christmas. To help us feel a bit of the world that they lived in. So let's watch this first scene together, and then we'll get into our message. So, before the angels ever spoke to them, we can see that the shepherds lived with deep social wounds, didn't they? I think that all of us have experienced the pain of social rejection at one time or another. And that's why we can, I think, all relate to our first point today, and that is the pain within us. The pain within us. Now, we're not told much about the shepherd's background at all in Scripture, but the Chosen's portrayal actually lines up pretty well with what historians and biblical scholars tell us. Life wasn't easy. It was hard for the shepherd. Shepherds in the first century were pretty much considered the bottom rung of society. Their work was necessary, but not respected. It was dirty, smelly, socially isolating. Shepherds were usually poor, often unhygienic. They're out in the fields all the time. Commonly viewed as uneducated and unreliable. They were the last people invited to anything and the first people dismissed from everything. The scene we just watched captures, I think, that reality painfully well. The townspeople pulling away as soon as the shepherds show up at the well, refusing even to make eye contact, leaving rather than standing anywhere near them. It wasn't subtle. It was rejection. Constant rejection. And here's the bridge for us into our world. You may not be a shepherd, but I think you have more in common with them than you think. As I already pointed out, all of us in one way or another have experienced the ache of social rejection. Maybe it came from a group of coworkers, maybe family, maybe even someone from church. Social pain burrows deep. And when it does, it can start this internal dialogue within us. I don't matter. I'm a nobody. I don't belong. I'm just not good enough. Every single person in this room carries some version of those wounds. And we hide them in different ways, don't we? So before Jesus can bring us his peace, we must acknowledge the battles that are within us. The wounds inflicted by others and by a world that has been broken by sin. Which brings us to our second point and our second scene with the shepherds. For there's a natural progression of social rejection that runs even deeper than the social wounds that we can have that come with rejection. So let's take a look at the next scene that's lined up for us and see where this leads. Imagine it would have been already hard to have been dismissed by society, right? But this, well, it's worse, isn't it? These shepherds live under constant condemnation as well. Not just rejection, but condemnation, which would have made them, I think, keenly aware of our second point today, which is the guilt within each one of us. In this scene that we saw, the religious leader's words cut brutally deep. It's because of people like you that the Messiah has not come. Imagine hearing that. Your very existence is delaying God's promise. Your sin is the reason God is withholding his blessing. And then to add insult to injury, the guy spits on the ground where the shepherd had been standing. Wow. Message is pretty unmistakable, isn't it? It's not just people who reject you. God rejects you. And tragically, this reflected a common errant theology at that time. If you were poor, injured, or physically limited in some way, people assumed you deserve it. You deserved it because God is judging you for your sin. And we can see this belief even being displayed when the followers of Jesus met a blind man. And as Jesus was leaving the temple in Jerusalem one day, John records their question to Jesus. They ask, "Teacher, who sinned? Who's responsible for this man's blindness? Did he commit sins that merited this punishment? If not his sins, is it the sins of his parents?" And as Jesus often did, he turned their theological misbelief on its head, answering, "Neither. Neither. His blindness cannot be explained or traced to any particular person's sins. He is blind so the deeds of God may be put on display." Or I love how the Message Bible puts it, "You're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There's no such cause effect here. Look instead for what God can do. Isn't that great? The truth is, we're all living in a world that has been broken by sin. We know that. And that brokenness is not just all around us, folks. It's within us. It's inside us as well. If you're broken physically, if you're broken socially, it really shouldn't surprise you that you're broken spiritually too, right? But here's where the shepherd's story again meets ours, I think. You may not be a shepherd again, but you are a human being. And humans know the weight of guilt. We know what it feels like to come face to face with our failures. We know the fear that whispers to us, God would never accept me. There's no hope for someone like me. And yet, here is the truth that the Pharisee totally missed in that scene. All people are broken by sin. All of us. No one is good enough. Everyone needs salvation. The problem wasn't a shepherd problem. It was a human problem. The shepherds that shepherd that he was talking to wasn't the only sinner in that marketplace. Every person there, including the Pharisee, needed peace with God. Our deepest distress doesn't come from people rejecting us, but from the fear that God himself somehow rejects us. That our sin has pushed us beyond his grace and mercy. But then, into this darkness, that darkness within us, into that fear, light breaks in. The silence of shame is shattered by the sound of angels. It happened to the shepherds, and it can happen to us, folks. Heaven opens up, and we can experience our third point today, which is the peace declared to us. The peace declared to us. Let's read the moment everything changed, not just for the shepherds, but for everyone. It's in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It starts off, it says, "That night some shepherds were in the fields outside the village, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel appeared among them, and the landscape shone bright with the glory of the Lord. They were badly frightened, but the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you the most joyful news ever announced, and it is for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born tonight in Bethlehem. How will you recognize him? Well, you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. 'Glory to God in the highest heaven,' they sang, 'and peace on earth for all those pleasing him.' When this great army of angels had returned again to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" Did you hear it in that line? It is for everyone. For all. Even lowly shepherds. Now, if you were designing the strategy for the Messiah's arrival, where would you have started? With the priests, maybe? King, even? Perhaps the prophets, if they were still around. Or at least some deeply devoted families to let them know what's happened, right? But God chooses shepherds. The overlooked, the unclean, and the unwanted. Why? Because if the Messiah is for them, he's for everyone. He's for you, he's for me. And for me, the angel's declaration totally reveals the heart of God. Don't be afraid. I bring good news for all people, for everyone. The peace God brings is not reserved for any special group of people. Not the strong, not the successful, or even the super spiritual. It's proclaimed and provided to those who assumed they were disqualified. And here's the good news of Christmas. God knows your internal battles. God knows your social wounds. God knows your sin. But he's not come to condemn you. He has come to make peace with you. Jesus is the perfect lamb, the sacrifice, not just for people, but in place of people. In his letter to the church in Rome, the early church leader Paul states, the payment for sin is death, but the gift that God freely gives is everlasting life, found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus took our place, paid for our sin, so that we can have peace between us and God. And because of that, he also gives us his peace. His peace within us. The angels declared it, the shepherds received it, and because of it, the world will never be the same. So peace wasn't just a proclamation from heaven. It was given personally, tenderly, intimately. I love the depiction in this next scene. And I'll try to actually talk after it. Because the writer may have, the writers of this series take some artistic license and stuff. And they take some artistic license here that's not found in the biblical text. But it definitely lines up with God's heart towards us, I think. And I want you to watch what happens when the shepherds finally meet the Christ child. Should have brought Kleenex with me. Don't you love that scene? The shepherds kneel, especially the one, he kneels before the manger, right? Worn, limping, rejected, wounded. Mary wraps his injured arm with the cloths of swaddling Jesus. The symbolism is really quite stunning. The physical wound representing, I think, the deeper wounds that he carried. The child who would one day be wounded on the cross is already beginning his work of healing. It's Isaiah's ancient prophecy in motion. By his wounds, we are healed. Physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. It doesn't matter. Jesus' presence brings peace to a troubled mind, healing to a troubled heart, salvation to a troubled soul. So our final point says, only through Jesus is peace given to us. Peace is received when we come to Jesus just as we are, with our wounds, our shame, our fear, our sin, our internal struggles. And then the one in the manger says, you. Yes, you. I came for you. And echoing what I stated earlier, you may not be a shepherd, but this peace is for you. Why? Because Jesus came for all people, for everyone. Peace cannot be earned. Peace is not even achieved. It's not deserved. Peace is given as a gift. Peace with God, peace within, which is the only way that this world can truly experience peace between one another. I don't know where everyone is today, but especially when it comes to having this kind of peace in your life. But one thing I do know is that, like the shepherds, only by turning to Jesus will you find that peace you're looking for. He came to bring us peace with God and restore our relationship with Him so we can be with Him forever. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. So it's His gift to everyone who would believe in and follow Him. Will you receive Him and His gift of peace? If you're ready to take that step today, if we could all just bow our heads together, you can just simply pray along silently with me to invite and receive Jesus as the Savior and leader of your life. And if that is you today, could you please just quickly raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with? Thank you. Just pray along with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for loving me so much that you sent Jesus into this world to restore my relationship with you so I can have peace with you. I'm sorry for only living my own way and not following what you say is best. So I ask for your forgiveness. Lord, I want to have peace with you. And I want to live with you from this moment on forever. So I receive Jesus' gift to me, sacrificing himself in my place for my sin, and then rising again to defeat the power that death had over me. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me peace with God and giving me peace within. Please help me to live my best life ever by living your way from now on and sharing what you've done in my life today. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Amen. If you did pray that prayer for the first time today, if you could do me a favor and just fill in one of those connect cards that's in the seat in front of you or link to the video stream online. So we'd love to connect with you and help you as you start your journey of following Jesus. We've got some resources that can help you in that as well. And whatever other ways that we can help you, we'd love to come alongside you. As we turn it back over to the band, I hope that we'll see you tonight at the Christmas Cafe. And next week, as we continue in the theme of joy, you won't want to miss that one.